Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I would say you can follow me on X at JWright929ESPN, but currently if you're following me, you'll be following an account that apparently is an outstanding miner of Bitcoin to the point in which that they got a brand new car. So congrats to them. But yes, I've now been hacked out of Twitter today, so it's been a heck of a week for your boy. So at some point, maybe I'll get Twitter back. I don't know. Maybe I'll do a social experiment and see if my life's demonstrably better without it. My suspicion is it will be, but oh, it's just another wonderful day in paradise. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, download the Odyssey app. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. We're also streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as the iHeartRadio app. All you gotta do is search for 92.9 FM ESPN, and you can stream us there as well. George Ruggiero is producer of the program. Follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. Yeah, that's
Listen, tough. Of all the things that have happened this week, it is certainly the least significant. So that,
absolutely.
That is certainly where I am right now. Like you can't get me more down than I was the last 2 days. So no getting locked out of social media is going to change that.
I tend to agree. I think everything will be better without it.
Yeah, I think that's probably it'll be a fun experiment. My company is his each and every Wednesday. He, of course, is the head coach and the team director of Team Thad. Follow him on socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach, good day.
Great day, hump day, sports day. Jeffrey, I want to say that I have been out the loop the last couple of days, so I pray and hate everything you done went through. I actually text you on Monday night, and I guess the football game was the last thing out of your mind, because Jeffrey actually texts pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you could text him about a tennis match, football
correct.
Match.
I was just doing anything to, like, I threw my phone away, and like I was just trying to go to sleep.
I thought I texted him too late
because
it was actually after midnight and the game ended.
And
I did like the same thing. I texted him like later on.
Yeah, I meant to text you back on Tuesday, but then there was other things that happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, so,
all good.
Yeah, brother, all good, man. Like I said, I've been out the loop. This kind of hit me when I walked into radio, so I didn't know what was going on.
It's not exactly been the world's greatest week, but I pray for Ross Fields and his family as they mourn his loss, because seemed like a really good dude. And there's pictures on Facebook of him and his son, and his son had just made the honor roll, and he was smiling ear to ear. So that was I wish I wouldn't have looked, but I was glad that I did. I don't know, is that weird? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it was painful, but at the same time, like, you wanted to see, like, this guy was loved.
That's the human thing to do. I think that's a good thing that you want to, you know, see that. And
well, you just didn't really want to see an 8-year-old now that doesn't have a dad.
Yeah,
that's kind of, we need more dads in this town.
For sure.
I think we can agree with that. All right, so we will change the subject. We got the Grizzlies. Not only home and season opener tonight, of course, you can hear it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN starting at 6:30 with pregame. Eric will have the call at 7. I let Eric know last night that Eric's biggest fan, my mother, was very concerned when she was trying to turn the radio on. I guess she got confused that she heard NBA opener, so she thought the Grizzlies were playing last night. And I was like, no, they play tonight. But she was like, tell Eric he's not on the air. I was like, Mom, Eric's not on the air.
He knows.
Correct. He will be on the air tonight. And you can hear him right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And hopefully on the Jeff Calkins show tomorrow morning, we are playing highlights from a Grizzlies win. Highlights, of course, of Eric's call. So we'll start with some Grizzlies. I want to get Coach's thoughts on Tom Izzo has spoken out about the G League players that have been granted eligibility. Wanted to discuss that with Coach. A couple other things. Jason Munn's going to join us at the bottom part of the hour. We'll talk Tiger basketball with him. The Tigers have released their schedule for television. 17 of their 21 games, I believe, that have been... I'm trying to remember what the number is. I think it's like 17 of 21 or that they would be in control of. So I guess if it's AAC or a home game, those will all be televised on linear television. So we'll get the impact of that, because for those that may not recall, the AAC will pay out teams based on their television presence. So they're kind of adopting the same thing that the ACC is doing. We don't know exactly how that's going to specifically work, but that is potentially more money for the Tiger basketball program based on their television appearances. So we'll discuss that. He's also got some questions of reasons for concern, reasons for optimism. We'll talk about those with him as well. We had NBA opening night last night. NBC made their return to the NBA. We'll talk about that coverage. Also, a couple of football notes that I saw today that I felt like were, it's like this felt like off-season content. We had some stadium rankings. It's like that's supposed to be for June, but I wanted to discuss that briefly. Also, we have the NFL trade deadline, so some targets. Spoiler alert, Coach's second team and Georgia's team, according to ESPN and The Athletic, they should be sellers.
Shocking.
So, can't believe that, but we'll discuss that. We'll talk maybe some more Grizzlies Pelicans specifically during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But without further ado, let's do some buy-sell short or go to Reddit. All right, boys, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The Memphis Grizzlies will be a playoff team this year. And I will grant you this. If they win their way from the play-in to the playoffs, that counts. So if they make it to one of the first-round series, that would be the stipulation.
I'm going to say, and actually you made this, you actually came out so quick with this, and you know, it wouldn't even know warm up to it.
Well, because the other one I had, I just think is so lukewarm. So if you want, we can discuss this one. The mood around the Grizzlies will be better at the end of this season than the years past.
Yeah, your first one was better.
That's what I'm saying. Like the first one's just
Jeffrey
such,
yeah. Right there. I'm going to buy it only because if you think about it from this standpoint, I get you. So they got to make it to the first round. Now the West is extremely hard, guys. But what I'm about to say, I hope it ain't confrontational, but you got to be really sorry not to even at least get a chance to get in the playoffs. Now, like, don't it stretch all the way to, like, the 11th team or 10?
So 10 plays 9. The winner of that game plays the loser of 7 and 8. Whoever wins the 7-8 game, that team gets the 2 seed. It doesn't matter if it's the 7 or the 8. Whoever wins the game, that team gets the 2 seed in the first round. So they're the 7
2
seed.
2-7 and 1-8.
Correct. And so then the loser of the 7-8 game plays the winner of the 9-10 game for the right to be the 8 seed.
But I'm just saying, Jeffrey, you have a chance. Now, the only time you don't have a chance is like only 4 teams or 5 teams from each conference don't get a chance to make the playoffs. You have to be extremely sorry. Now, granted, this is the West, so I will give some leeway on that. You know what I mean? So I would just say, I get they saying we're going to be lower. We got injuries. We're going to be lower on wins this year. But I still think the Grizzlies is a good chance of being a playoff team.
I think I'm going to buy it too. So my hesitation is simply just injuries right now, because if you told me Zach Edey was suiting up tonight, I'd feel pretty good. Because when Edey and Jaren have been on the floor together defensively, they've been very good because they really complement each other. Jaren is a great rim protector. Edie's a great rebounder. Like they really pair well together. And then we know when Ja has a really big that sets screens and starts the offense for him, that's when he's really at his best. The other reason I kind of liked the Grizzlies, though, was a lot of, I think, even despite trading Dez, I thought they kind of built up some depth and trustworthy depth. But now you're sitting here, Ty Jerome's going to be out for a month, right? George, I think they said 4 weeks. Maybe
they said reevaluation in 4 weeks. It's a calf injury. It could be sooner. It could be later.
The biggest concern that I had was, more times than not, I feel like in basketball, calf's pre-Achilles.
Yeah.
So I didn't love that. But it did sound like when they got the imaging and they got the actual assessment, it was better than expected. That seemed to be the general impression. Okay, but now with Scottie's injury, Scottie's for sure out for 3 months. And these are, to me, these are two guys that would probably have been in the top seven? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So, and then now we already know Brandon Clark is going to be out at least for a month. I think it was maybe a month when they announced the surgery, which was maybe 3 weeks ago. So you have BC with the knee. Now you've got Vince Williams with a heel, and then obviously the aforementioned Edey, which maybe you get him back in middle November. I mean, I think that would be fingers crossed, hopefully.
Yeah.
The only reason why I'm hesitant is these are guys that I think are contributing and they're already out. But on the flip side, for the first time since 2021, the Grizzlies are starting a season opener with John Jaren on the lineup. And to me, I think that's kind of like when I was thinking about last night, because I'm not really in favor of this trying to make the NBA like the NFL, where we're trying to make the calendar year round. I feel like with the NBA, sometimes I need a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
But like last night, I was just thinking about John Jaren are going to be on the floor tonight, and that's enough for me to get excited.
No, I agree. And then ain't that actually good, because at one point people were saying they didn't know if Jaren, he did a camp at our gym about a month or so ago, but I thought at one point here recently some people didn't know would he be ready for the opening season.
Because when they released the timeline, because he did the Joe Burrow turf toe surgery.
Okay.
And so when the timeline came out, and granted, it's just a timeline. It's not, you know, some guys heal faster, some guys, it's no one knows when they get done with the surgery. But basically, everyone was doing 3 months from the surgery, and that was going to basically put him returning around the start of the season. But it felt like they kind of got a lift when not only did Jaren get a preseason game under his belt, but we found out most of training camp he was available for. That seemed to be a positive development from what was expected from surgery.
Super positive. So like you said, with both of them being in the lineup from day one, I think you have a lot of positivity. Now, the other things you are saying do concern me, because realistically, like you say, you never know with injuries. It sounds like we won't be our self. Granted, and when I say our self, that means everyone that is injured become healthy, and everybody is healthy, stay healthy. Let me say that. Not no even, no,
right.
no.
Not
back
one in, one out. Yeah, it's like the club, yeah.
none
the
of
dudes
that.
At the club, yeah.
Yeah, none of that. The person who just paid you your money back asked you to borrow money again the same.
Right.
None of that. Just straight up.
I paid that debt. I need some more.
Yeah. Just straight up come to me. It feel like, because I never like to put, I'm one of those guys, Jeffrey, like I tell everybody if I know I got late friends and stuff, or my daughter, if an airplane leave at 11, I tell them that it really leave, because I buy the tickets most of the time. It leave at 10:35 or it leave
smart.
At 10:40. I'm one of those guys. So I would just say, to be hopeful and not be that guy that's always nagging, I would just say we would have our team together, let's just say December the 1st.
So I'm glad you mentioned this. Shout out, ESPN's improved their injury on the ESPN.com. Granted, keep in mind, it's like estimated. They've now started putting estimated return dates. So with Vince, they think he can play this week. It's a heel. With Jerome, they're putting November the 18th. With Scotty, they're putting January 15th. BC, they're saying November 15th. And Edie, they're saying November 7th. So to your point, I mean, if you're saying, if you're telling me you can give me those four, I love Scotty as much as everyone, but like you're offering me those four.
You're good.
Somebody by the middle of November, like somebody's going to get banged up. Like,
and I'm taking it further. I said by December the 1st, we should be straight. So I think by December the 1st, we should be good. And I think that's enough time, even though they're starting this NBA earlier and earlier, just where it can be less back-to-backs and more rest. Because I don't know if y'all remember, just a few years ago, NBA used to start around Halloween.
Used to always start around Halloween. My only problem is they keep telling us that it's for fewer back-to-backs. I feel like every year I count it up, it's always the same number of back-to-backs. To me, the difference is you get fewer games post-All-Star break that allows teams to kind of gear up for the playoffs, like rest up gear. It feels like we've now put more games before the All-Star break, and so that's where we're cramming a bunch of back-to-backs. But it does feel like once you get to February, March, April, the games are fewer and fewer in terms of number of days. And I think that's in order to try and have everybody be healthy for the playoffs.
Another thing going on, George and Jeffrey, they also, and some of the players like this, depending on what city it is, they also treat it a little bit like an AAU trip. So now when you go to Orlando and Miami or certain cities, you know they had them to play back-to-back or a game in between, and they stay in their city. Like they might go and play Miami. Last year some guys like this, they were in Miami 4 or 5 days, and – they played them twice, the same team, like some baseball stuff.
No, I mean, I also think it kind of worked against them. I believe, if I recall correctly, when the Grizzlies were playing really poorly, there was one time there was an L.A. trip, and they were supposed to be able to stay over, and I think Taylor decided we're going home.
Mm.
Remember when they were having that California, everybody's kind of...
Oh, when like they play like that little three-game stint out there? It was like Lakers, like Clippers, and Kings or something like that.
Or maybe it was even like one night was Clippers, one night was Lakers, one night was Clippers again. Like,
yeah,
it was
something like that. Yeah. Stuff like that, yeah.
And then, yeah, that trip got taken away.
Yeah, so that is saving a little bit on their body because although they play in the same team, which is weird for the NBA, it's actually cooler in L.A. you can do it because you can play two different teams, or in New York – you can do it. But like in Miami, you can only play those two games, and I think that still rests on the player's body. So they're trying anything they can try. Am I wrong, Jeffrey? At one point, the NBA, when we was a little younger, didn't start in November. Or am I wrong on that?
I remember in college, I think they'd moved it up to Halloween. They wanted to make Halloween the night, and it seems like, I mean, I can look it up.
But
I do feel like it was around... The NBA started around the same time college hoops fired up for real.
Yeah, in November, right? And then, like you say, like probably about 10 years ago, we started the Halloween thing. I would say this. I love basketball. I do not think we ever should go before October 21st. This should be the earliest because, like you say, you don't even get college for a few weeks. You're still digesting. Now, I'm not trying to whine because I'm that same dude in June that's saying, can something please start? I love baseball, soccer, all the other stuff, Jeffrey and George. But when there's no basketball and football that whole July and August, I need it. But then it's like, let's spread this out a little bit, though, because I think I love Halloween. What are y'all take on this? I think October 21st might be a little too early.
So I'm in the camp of – I wish they would start. I think I would work backwards. I think as long as you finish your season before, honestly, Labor Day, which is when the NFL and the NBA kick, or the NFL and college football kick off, I think that would be better. So I would honestly, now that we're seeing the NFL just dominate Christmas Day and whatnot, like I'd be totally fine if they pushed the entire start of the season back until, if you wanted to say like December 1. And then it doesn't have to go all the way to Labor Day, but let's say you played December 1 to August 1, and to me that makes way more sense, but there's a bunch of television executives that will say, given the amount of travel that happens in July and what, like, they want... I've never known if this is true, but here's their case. They want to have the season done and free agency start by the 4th of July so that they can take their vacation in August, and they tell you that is solely based on if they were to extend the season another month or 6 weeks, that would hurt TV, which you can never keep straight, because Silver can never keep straight whether or not he cares about ratings, because it depends on like what argument he's trying to make. Like, sometimes he'll say he does care about ratings when they're good, and then other times he'll say, well, we're really a highlight sport, and then it's like, well, look at our digital traffic. So it's kind of tough to keep up with all of it, but I think if you think about when you're watching television during the summer, most of these are going to be on networks, and during that period of time, nobody puts anything on of any circumstance.
Yes, that's true. Now, I will, to they defense, thinking about it now, because I be at Peace Jam and stuff, and even some of our kids have a hard time.
I think that's another big part of it that they won't say, but I do think part of it is if they extend the season, that's a big-time scouting thing. And I understand that, obviously, there's not a ton of – they're not just taking anybody from high school anymore, but, like, they're still there. There's a presence.
They're and another thing, like, with my kids, Tennessee, we started school this year like August 4th. It was crazy. So we got from Peace Jam. It was only like a week or – and, you know, people was complaining they couldn't even do a vacation.
Sure.
And so I can imagine millionaires – not being able to go nowhere in the summer. Like, because if you did that from December to Labor Day, they actually wouldn't be able to go to these great islands.
Oh, I definitely think a big part of this is that the New York office couldn't just go to the Hamptons in all of July and August.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, so I do get the quality of lifestyle, too.
Or the Vineyard, wherever they go, you know, Nantucket or like whatever. All those East Coast resort places that they just post up for 2 months.
I would probably play, if they had to put all three of us over this and we got in the room, granted, I think all three of us smart. We put some stuff out today, people hammer us, you know what I mean? Because it's all, but I think I would just shorten the games, Jeffrey. I would do like,
well, we know that can't happen
because of the money.
Of course.
But I was still.
Well, it's like, even if, like, there's two approaches. You could either shorten the season, which to me has always made sense. 82 games seems like way too many basketball games, especially when your playoffs are as long as they are. But that obviously isn't going to happen, because that would require the owners giving up home games, and they're not going to do that. Or shorten the games themselves, so from 48 to 40 minutes, which was proposed, and players don't want to go for that because of records.
Yeah, the records. And like I say, now thinking about what you were saying, I would end it at the Saints. I probably would start it. Maybe we tried to do a big Halloween, maybe the big Thanksgiving thing. You know, but
well, we're already conditioned, because like we're conditioned to watch hoops then, because like Thanksgiving is like, all right, let's throw on either a crappy Lions game or a crappy Cowboys game, but we've also got the Old Spice tournament in Orlando.
Now you classic, and so it's like a big hoops thing. Like Black Friday is the NBA first game,
and then I think what ESPN would not say out loud, but would be true, is, well, we've already got the inventory, we're already programmed all those days for Maui and whatnot. Like, not that those would outdraw the NBA, but that they've already got that covered. Basically, what ESPN wants to do is they want to have programming as much as possible. And so, like, that would be double dipping.
Yeah, they good there.
Right.
And I agree with them, because as much as I love hoops and as much as I love the Grizzlies, as much as I love LeBron and watching Thad, and I'm a big college guy, especially during Thanksgiving. So I'm probably going to have, and I made that suggestion, like, even this year, I'm going to tell you, if you come with that heat, because I am flying out this year for Thanksgiving, they doing some big, I'm going to be back for Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving Eve. I told everybody that. But they're doing some big NIL.
I'd rather die than miss my mother's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm not. I told them I'm going to take a red eye from Vegas.
It's my favorite holiday.
Yeah, man, I get
to agree. Celebrates the three things I love the most: eating, football, and sleeping.
Somebody told me that's the one day you can get away with robbery, because they literally go to everybody's house just taking food. They said it's the one day of the year that you can. But it's this big, I know you probably heard about it, Jeffrey, NIL.
Stealing, it's literally called giving. You're giving.
So,
it's in the name.
It is the name. It's this big thing. I don't know if y'all heard, Jeffrey and George, y'all probably heard about it in the spring, but it's going down. It's an NIL where they're giving some crazy money, and they got the biggest teams in it, Houston, Tennessee. So, you know, Malu used to come with that rule, you can only come to Malu once every 4 years. they might need to stop there, because anytime somebody see an opening, it's this new NIL college
hoop. It's the Vegas one, right?
The Vegas one, yeah.
What is the name? It's got some Middle East money.
And the stuff that they're paying these teams, they're paying them like 3-4 year deals, $90 million a year. I mean, it's some crazy stuff. Some of the higher end.
What is the name of it? It's like they play it out in Vegas, or like teams were dropping out of Maui to go to this.
No, and this supposed to be the big first year, because a lot of coaches called me, and I'm gonna go out there like Sunday to win. I'm not gonna miss Thanksgiving. Like I said, it's from Monday to Friday. But
maybe it's like the players. Players Invitational, maybe.
So we have Players Era, and we also have College Basketball Crown.
It's the Players
Era. So the Crown is the...
Is that the postseason one?
Crown is Fox's answer to the NIT.
That's... Yeah, I was like...
The Players Era is the one that Coach is talking about.
It's going to be huge right now. So if you come with a huge product...
I believe the Qataris are funding that one.
They say they got some crazy contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out.
I'm pretty sure it's like it's a...
Oh, we got some teams going
on. No,
that's
what I'm telling you.
No, it's replaced Maui.
That's big time.
And they're giving you crazy money. Now you're going to have to change their rules. And two, maybe if the NBA came crazy, because this thing right here just knocks something out the box.
I think the other problem that at least Silver has gotten tripped up and kind of said the quiet part out loud recently, their entire thing is just the playoffs. Like, in the end, their regular season product, which is why I have gotten increasingly frustrated with the NBA, is like they have essentially acknowledged like the regular season doesn't matter. What matters is the playoffs. And now if you look at it, I mean, think about like how many teams are now just kind of treating it a lot like it used to be with the NCAA tournament, which is like, hey man, if you started to get banged up, like, all right, maybe we're gonna move a seed line or two, but maybe we don't need to go all out the conference tournament. We need that extra week off and everybody's getting right. We just got to get in the tournament. It's kind of how everybody's been treating. Basically, everyone was just trying to avoid. If they could get top six, they could. But then it was just trying to like finagle the schedule to see if you could get the 7-8 game.
Jeffrey, and that's one reason why I don't know if you know how much, and we didn't grow to know each other. I love basketball. I love that. I'm talking about middle school, high school, college, NBA. I go to middle school games in Memphis. And you know what's funny? It's really competitive. Some of these little kids are off the chain. I say that to say I love in high school, and if you grew up in Memphis, with passion, when somebody dunked the ball, anywhere from 500 to 2,000 people stand up. I love it in college. NBA is entertaining, but sometimes, like, if somebody dunked in the NBA, it's not exciting, really, unless it's something like Vince Carter. It's like, until the fourth quarter and the playoffs, unless it's just one of them big matchup days, it's not always
it's honestly, though, to your point, like, whenever there was a high school game and you knew there was a player that could show up and dunk, like, that, there was a buzz in the air of, like, and every time there'd be a fast break, even if the kid was on the other team, like, everybody, ooh, yeah. Like, everybody would rise up, like, because it was just such a big deal. To your point, 100% in the NBA, it's like, unless it's someone that you think is going to be a showstopper, whatever. Like, it's neither here nor there. It's kind of getting that way in college, too. But to your point, it's kind of why, even though I think it's made for TV and it's soulless and it's clearly just a money grab, I'm okay with the in-season tournament, because those games have felt more competitive. And I think they're better watches. Because I, like you, I like basketball. I really do. I also don't like lazy basketball. Like, I don't like no energy, non-competitive. Like, it just feels like, it's why I just checked out on the All-Star game. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I don't have to sit here and make the world's biggest deal about it and act like it's some type of crisis of confidence or what are we going to do to fix it. It's like, I'm just not going to watch it.
Now, and Jeffrey, think about this. We all excited tonight, right? And 2-4 weeks, right, when everything settles in, if the Grizzlies or your team is not playing a mainstream, if your team is playing the Kings or the Hornets, you're not going to be excited. And to be real, a lot of these sporting events has became more of a, I like to still watch sports, but a lot of times it's more of a outing than it is the product, which keep making the NBA money, keep making the Grizzlies money. But it is so many, I'm not trying to snitch on nobody, it's so many girls going to be at the game tonight that knows nothing about basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say people. Hold on. It's so many people tonight.
The game. And obviously, like no one's gonna mistake the Memphis groupie scene for Miami or New York or L.A. Like, no one's going to make that mistake. But it's not going to be zero.
Yeah, it has improved.
It is not 0 points. Well, Josh started importing.
Okay. I don't know about that, but with social media and everything, it has improved.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think that's kind of my bigger deal is that where I think the NBA is just being completely they'll give you lip service and say they care about it, but they don't actually care about it because no one's really done anything. I'll use this example. Do y'all know how the NFL avoided the fake injuries? Because even in the NFL, when teams started going tempo, whatnot, how the NFL started doing it? They started punishing and docking teams' draft picks. Wasn't publicized, but all of a sudden, guess what you don't see on a Sunday? You don't see a guy sitting there going, oh, it's first down, I'm tired, I'm going down, I'm just to try and slow this thing down. They nipped it in the butt. So in the NBA, they like to talk about, oh, well, we've put in the rules for playing more games and we're doing everything that we can. We're going to punish teams if they play on ABC Saturday night and their best player doesn't sit or their best player sits. But they've not actually really done anything about it.
A little bit they have. This is the problem with the NBA. These guys are making, this is going to sound crazy. These guys are making so much money, they're docking some of these. This is going to sound like the craziest thing
I ever. You are 1,000% right about this.
Some people 10, 20, 30 minutes. It's not. You got to understand these young guys, like Cooper Flagg, them just came in. They're making double digits on a rookie deal. So. They are in line to make, as long as they stay good, between $500 and $1 billion after 3-4 contracts.
To your point, it's exactly what, like, I know everyone likes to think that some of it is analytics, and it is to a certain degree for baseball. But most of the reason why you don't see guys going 9 innings like they used to, it's because these guys got $400 million in their arm. And all of a sudden, when you have that much money invested, all the people that are paying the money are like, I'm treating this like an asset.
Yeah. Yeah. And like he said, now I do get an NBA respect on this. Let's say Jeffrey is playing his butt off this year, right? And I'm hurt or whatever, and I've made the All-Star game 3 years. I only played 30, 40 games this year. I shouldn't get that first team over Jeffrey. I shouldn't be able to, get a first team All-NBA and stuff. So I do think they're trying to do the best they can do, but some max players, I don't even know if they care about that as much no more.
I think when it used to matter because of bonuses, I mean, they only care if it impacts them getting another super max deal.
But it do impact a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it impacts, but like, if you've already qualified, you don't really care. Like, if you're, like, let's say you made first team All-NBA in one of the years that would count towards you being eligible for the super max. You don't really care if coming into that last year whether or not you make it. You're already eligible.
But don't some of it is every year you might get a steal more of a bonus?
I mean, you would definitely. I'm sure there's contract incentives, but like, I don't think it's anything going to be like. I mean, part of like Matt, you know, part of Nico Harrison's whole FU to Luka is that he basically cost Luka $200 million because when he sent him to the Lakers, Luka would. When Luka was, because remember he signed his extension this summer, because of that, he didn't have the service years, and then because he had the All-NBA credentials, but because of the service time, he couldn't get the, like, he basically cost him $200 million because he couldn't get the Supermax or whatever, you know, the one that he would have been eligible to sign with the Mavs.
The one based on the draft rights.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, that you could stay with them.
If you stay with the team that you get drafted by, and it's somewhat different than the Bird rights, but if it's the team that drafts you and you're there for a certain amount of time, plus an accolade of some kind, you're eligible for the Supermax.
So what
it's
if he,
to keep teams keeping their
homegrown
talent.
Yeah, keeping their players. But if he wouldn't have left Dallas, like I was saying, especially when you're coming up on a new contract, you are not eligible unless you make a certain team in some country.
He'd already
qualified. For,
in the case of a guy like Luka.
Yeah.
Luka's, obviously, he would have
I don't think you have
that.
To make it specifically – Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's not a timing
thing. I didn't think
thing.
You
it's
had to make it specifically
times.
The year before you signed your deal. I thought you had to make it in the window.
In certain times.
There's a window.
Cause
right.
I know
there's a couple-year window.
George, and it's a big gap because 1 year they were saying Paul George missed out on 40 to 60 million. And so somewhere they say Ja missed out on some crazy money on something that if he would have made something a year or two. Some of them are kind of big.
I think Ja was okay because he made second team, but Jaren got screwed because in Jaren's window this year, after Wimby got hurt, he was the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. And then obviously the Grizzlies started to suck, and then he went down. Like, that cost him.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
It probably helped. It's that weird thing. It probably helped the Grizzlies keep Jaren, but, like, they could have, if he makes Defensive Player of the Year, they could have offered him a deal that probably no one else could have offered. But this way, they were kind of able to thread it. Like, they got Jaren back, and they didn't have to give out the
crazy money.
The crazy max.
The craziest money.
Right. Jaren's still doing fine.
he's doing very, very great. Hey, and I want to say this, Jeffrey, to the people. None against nobody who go to sporting events, not for the sports, because I think I didn't tell Jeffrey this, and I don't go to as many baseball games as him, but I go to MLB games just to eat in the atmosphere. I think hot dogs are there. I think
after I saw the Cardinals lineup when I went to the Padres game, I just ate around Petco Park for 7 innings.
I promise. I barely get to my
great
seat.
Great idea, by
yeah,
the way.
That's all
great idea. I went to Atlanta Braves when the stadium was new. Like, I barely get to my seat sometime. I just enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how you keep up with, because baseball is 100 and what game?
62.
Yeah.
Like, see, that right there would be a kind of tough for me. Like, I'm more of a beginning of the year, around All-Star, and then go hard in the playoffs.
I mean, that's baseball. In fairness, that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought some people go hard.
I mean, I throw it on my TV, but I'm not, like, sitting there on a Tuesday night in July sweating out every pitch of whether or not the Cardinals are going to get it done tonight.
Okay.
I mean, there might be some people online that will act like they do that, but that's not the reality.
It's performative.
Like everyone, like for me, I'm a big baseball fan. I will casually watch the Cardinals every night, but I'm not locked in half the time, Simon, with the sound on.
Yeah, because the only people it seems like that I personally know that act like they lock in every day are people who's betting on it. And they're
and I don't really bet that much baseball. But yes, that's a different.
That's a different animal.
They're not locked in on the game. They're locked in on the betting.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Munns joins the program next. Let's talk Tiger Hoops with him. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Follow him on X at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
This is Torn by Trauma Ray. It's one of those blind picks when I go to the record stores on the road. I just sometimes I'll see something that catches my eye, and I've never heard of it.
Which city did you get it in?
This is in Birmingham.
Okay.
T-Sick Records in Birmingham, which is fantastic. Great spot. People say I've heard, I've been told that the guy who runs C-Stick is also the guy who runs Grimey's in Nashville, and I don't know his name, but he's from Memphis, I'm told. So,
okay.
Shout out to that guy.
Shout out to him. Okay, so yesterday we got the television schedule, and I think what was your... I've been hacked on Twitter. I did not mine Bitcoin, and I did not buy a new car. I am driving a rental car for other reasons though, right now.
That's motion to get hacked.
And then it's like the classic, is that password the same as others? And I'm like, and then my wife's hounding me. I was like, I'm pretty sure that one was different. I'm pretty sure.
You got to be somebody to get hacked. So good on you.
Maybe. I feel like you got to be like, either massively successful or just someone that is like visible. So there you go on that. Okay.
Either way, you're good.
I believe your note was 17 of 21 games that Memphis controls the TV. They will be linear. Is that correct? Was that your note?
No, 21 total games, regular season are on linear.
Okay.
21 out of 31.
And the only where they will get credit. They get credit for home non-con games and then conference games. Is that correct?
Credit. What do you mean?
Like, isn't there going to be some television payout?
Yeah, well, that's for if it's outside of the current, outside the framework of the current media rights deal that the American has. So basically anything that is at home that is non-conference, that is not on the ESPN family of networks, which is this year's only one game, the Baylor game on CBS, then, yes, they get the full six-figure payout, whereas before it would be split pretty much evenly with everybody in the league.
Okay, so the league is not doing, like, the ACC thing where they are paying out schools based on their television ratings?
No, this is if you have a game that's outside – it's not on, it's like on ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS, like it's not on ESPN and it's a home non-conference game, then when I was in Birmingham for Media Day, I asked Tim Pernetti about this, you know, specifically, and he wouldn't give me the exact amount that you know, Memphis will receive, but he said it is six figures and it's 100% of it goes to the University of Memphis Athletic Department, whereas before, that figure would be divided equally amongst Memphis and everybody else in the league, which is just kind of crazy to think about. But like he is adamant and outspoken about the whole, like, the you know, the ones who earned it should be the ones who benefit the, you know, the most.
Was there anything else out of Media Days that was actual newsworthy or noteworthy?
It sounds like we're going to have injury reports for basketball, so there's that.
Injury reports or availability reports?
Well, I will say, as we were talking to Tim Pernetti, the commissioner of the American Conference, and I asked him about injury reports, he very quickly was like, you mean player availability reports, don't you? And I said, all right, whatever. Yes, that is what I meant. So, yeah, availability reports, not injury reports, but he did say that it's not been, like, completely stamped, but he said that the American athletic directors know that they are planning to begin these, to institute the same policy for basketball that they have for football, that they started for football this season. So, you know, didn't really have any details. He said it's not quite there yet, and obviously they've got time. The conference play doesn't begin until New Year's Eve, so they've got a little bit of time to hammer out all the details. But there was that. But in terms of, yeah, big news, like it was not, it was kind of like a, I don't want to say it was a stale media day, but it kind of was in a way, you know, because Memphis was picked to win the league, so you didn't have like that underdog chip on your shoulder. Why wasn't Memphis picked to win the league story? And then you also, you know, like 75% of the players who were in the league last year are no longer in the league this year.
75?
So, well, it, there's only, it's roughly 25-26% of the players who were in the American last year are in the American this year. Whereas last year you had Yaxel Lindeborg, there was that flirtation that he had with Memphis between his first year at UAB and last season when he was at UAB. So that was a storyline that came up last year. But there just wasn't that this year. The most we got in terms of the storyline was talking to Temple head coach Adam Fisher about Quante Berry, who's now at Memphis. There was the awkward, sort of an awkward moment between Penny Hardaway and Jeff Goodman, who was there from the field at 68. Like toward the end of the interview, Jeff kind of, commented to Penny about how they've not always exactly seen eye to eye, and it was nothing major, nothing significant, but it made for a little bit of an awkward moment at the time.
Seen eye to eye, I mean, I'd like to unpack that, because I've always felt like Jeff understands the internet pretty well, and he knows that if you say anything about Memphis, it tends to get engagement more so than the average fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I think what he was trying to say is that, like, he's been critical of Penny in the past, and he's been critical of Memphis in the past quite a bit, and he knows that has not always sat well with Penny, and I think he was trying to, it seemed like he was trying to break the ice or smooth it over on the air. And Penny kind of interrupted him, and he was like, listen, you gotta write what you're going to write and say what you're going to say, and I got to do what I'm going to do. So Penny sort of punctuated it by saying, he's like, I'm a pro. I get how this works. I'm a pro. And they just kind of laughed about it and left it at that. It was beef level stuff here, but it was
in a week or in a day of boring. Yes. Yes, it was at least something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. In the context relative to everything else that came out of Media Day, that was at least somewhat entertaining.
All right. The other thing I've been thinking about is, and maybe you don't have a great answer for this, but I think now when you consider. When you consider the Tiger basketball job versus the rest of the league, it seems like the gap between them and the second best team is maybe as wide as it's ever been in terms of roster ability, in terms of spending. But there's also this weird reality of the top of the sport seems to also be separating from them. And so when you come up with expectations of like, what is a reasonable standard to hold the program to? It almost feels like, well, if you miss the tournament, that's not just a failure. Like, that's really bad when you look at the rest of the league. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, if I see that 20 teams are spending $10 million or more, and like what we got granted, there could have been some creative accounting, could have been agent accounting, but we got the report last week that we got the report from Joe Tipton that Kentucky's roster is $22 million. Well, if Memphis is fighting with a $4.5 million roster, like, I don't think that's playing the same sport. So what do you think, if you were setting like a base expectation, what should it be for this season?
Win the league. I mean, I think win the league and make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that is yes, in the from a national landscape perspective, $4.5 million or whatever it is. I mean, as Scott said, a few months back in the summer, he was like, it's around the same time that we talked to Ed about NIL for men's basketball. It was reported that Kansas was working with roughly $5 to $6 million or something like that.
I was going to say, but they conveniently left out whatever Kansas's collective was paying.
Yeah, this was for rev share, for sure. At the time, Ed Scott was like, we're competitive with that in terms of what we are giving revenue share wise to Memphis basketball. Obviously, I don't think Memphis is like up there very high at all in terms of collectives what money is being contributed from the collectives, which, if I'm not mistaken,
And remember they were trying to move everything in house.
Yeah. As far as I know, Bluff City Collective, which has been the men's basketball, solely dedicated to men's basketball the last couple of years, is no longer operable. So what Memphis is getting, going back to the original point, is yes, nationally, they are competitive. They may be competitive from a revenue sharing standpoint with some of these big blue blood, big name brands. But when you look at it to take everything into account, Memphis is a little bit substantially further behind in terms of the amount of money that it can spend on the program. That being the case, still, with what Penny Hardaway does as a recruiter and what the amount of talent that he brings in, especially compared to the rest of the league, I think the baseline still has to be conference championship and NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and I guess I'll leave room for what if they run through the league, but the league ends up being one bid league, and maybe they don't have a dominant they don't have an overwhelming non-conference record, even though they'll have a good strength of schedule, and then they get, someone hits a miracle shot in the tournament. Obviously some context is involved, but to me, it's almost just man, the only thing I'll truly deem as a failure is if you don't win the league, and I'm not necessarily saying the conference tournament.
Right, you're talking about regular season.
Yeah,
certainly there are times where what if, we could come up with a scenario where somebody hits a miracle shot and the refs get involved and Memphis has three starters out or something like that. Okay, sure, you can excuse that. Let's say they go 17-1 in the regular year, and then everybody gets sick or everybody gets hurt or something. Key guys get hurt going into the tournament and they slip up and that happens. They miss the tournament. But from where we sit now, preseason, the expectation still should be I'm not saying that coming up short of the NCAA tournament is a failure, but the expectation should be. I'm not going to sit here and say this is a failure, that's a failure, but the expectation should be NCAA tournament and conference championship.
All right, my man, we appreciate you.
All right, thanks.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. When we come back, Tom Izzo's had some comments about another G Leaguer getting eligibility. I want to get coaches' thoughts on that and more. Also, get into a little bit from the NFL and more from the world of sports that has been going on the last day or so. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.